In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, August 26, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number two of our program today, some information about defense acquisition reform, and we'll give you details on that throughout hour number one of In-Depth with Francis Rose today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In our first hour, as we do every Thursday at this time, it's some industry chatter, and today, happy to welcome Janet Kumpu, who is president of Fortress Technologies, to the studio. Janet,
Thanks for having me.
Glad that you're here. Tell me a little bit about what your company does, and in what are you an expert?
Absolutely. So Fortress has actually been in the business supporting the federal government since 1997, and our core focus is delivering secure wireless communication solutions to the government, largely to the Department of Defense, but to a much broader public sector.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try to do is extend the reach of the network for a variety of different applications: situational awareness, force protection, logistics applications, command and control environments.
Mm-hmm. Just the term wireless can mean, 15 years ago, wireless meant the big clunky wireless phone in the house.
That's right.
And now it means a number of different things. Are you talking about wireless telephony, wireless networks, a combination of that?
Wireless networking. Mm-hmm. The majority of our solutions today are based on Wi-Fi technology, mm-hmm. so commercial technology that you'd use in your home. To be untethered from the cable.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done uniquely is taken that commercial-based technology and framework and created systems that are optimized for government use.
You're obviously prejudiced toward that model, but that's a model that we see in software a lot, and more that's happening where agencies are understanding there's tremendous value in not reinventing the wheel.
Absolutely. And we term it COTS Plus in our little world. It's leveraging the significant investments that industry makes in maturing technology that's generally available, that's interoperable, that's standards-based,
mm-hmm.
but then looking at the CONOPS environments for our government users and recognizing what those mitigation issues are and addressing them.
Yeah. What do agencies ask you to do most? What do they want you to help them solve or do?
I mean, first and foremost, for our market, it's having reliable comms.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have high-performing, reliable communications infrastructure? They can't use it if it's not secure, which becomes a mandate to leveraging that capability. And probably the third aspect is ruggedizing it. So
mm-hmm.
creating network kits and solutions that can operate in harsh, austere, dynamic, and deployable environments.
What do the end users want? I understand everybody wants a secure network.
Yeah.
To do what for the end user?
It's enabling edge applications.
Mm-hmm.
So we enable a logistics person to use a wireless handheld device to scan RFID tags. We enable a streaming video stream, which could be mounted on a soldier's helmet, to be carried across a wireless network to a core command and control center.
Mm-hmm.
We enable someone to set up an instantaneous network in an area where there is no infrastructure and create a communications network that they can share critical information.
Yeah.
We can be implemented on a vehicle to create comms amongst a convoy or support a dismounted soldier. So the application is independent to what we do. You could argue we're the non-sexy component of it. We're
right.
the pipe,
mm-hmm.
the secure communications link.
But I think it's instructive to think about what the end user does, because I believe when we talk about issues, whether it's with vendors or whether it's with the agencies, we get caught up in the process and forget that the process is supposed to serve somebody at the other end to enable somebody to actually do something and not just for the government to have more stuff.
Absolutely. And I think the government's made significant investments in maturing the applications they want to use
mm-hmm.
and devices, whether those are vehicles or sensors.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's becoming critical is making that information accessible,
mm-hmm.
making it real time, allowing for 100% situational awareness.
Yeah. Right. Do the agencies come to you and say, we want a network to give you the specifications, or do they say, we want to be able to do some of the things that you were just talking about, and we need whatever you can provide that will allow us to do that?
It happens both ways.
Mm-hmm.
In many situations, in some cases, they have a device. So the iPhone,
mm-hmm.
right? So popular in the general, consumer market, and they say, why can't I use this tool for my soldiers to create some, you know, form of access and control.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a camera and they can only share it with one individual. Why can't they share that and stream that to, you know, a complete organization?
Yeah.
It's always about the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And more, you know, communications oriented programs, they're much more methodical about looking at the network because they're designing it from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Is it easier for you to respond to a request when you're told that we wanted to do this and it's got to be this much uptime and you have very specific requirements? Or is it easier for you where you maybe the response is a little more artistic, where you can say, all right, you want to be able to do this at the end and this is how we get you there?
It probably depends on the life cycle of where the customer is.
Mm-hmm.
If they are if it's part of a large program, they have very well-defined requirements, and they probably have a list of gaps or critical issues they're trying to solve.
Yeah.
The more defined it is, the easier it is for us to meet 100% of their requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But in many cases, they don't know exactly how to solve the problem. So that's why we like to be close to the customer and the program office and our systems integrators, so we can collaborate on what the best solution is for the government.
Are you seeing more of that or less of that than you used to?
I'm seeing a lot more of it. So, you know, particularly where we sit in delivering what I call COTS plus solutions, you know, we're seeing the government embrace industry in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
They used to spend a significant amount of money on GOTS products, government-defined, government-funded products. I think they're recognizing they can bring better solutions to market faster, more cost-effectively, and quite honestly meet a greater portion of their mission
mm-hmm.
by collaborating with industry. So we're engaging at all different phases, you know, in a process, but much more actively, which creates opportunity for a company like Fortress.
Yeah, I think for a long time, people on both sides of the fence seem to be a little skeptical about how those relationships would develop.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to wind up in the headlines for crossing the line, doing the wrong thing. And yet, what you're saying is what I'm hearing, on both sides of the fence, is it's much easier for us to get what we need, or it's much easier for us to provide for the customer what he or she needs if we can talk about it before the paperwork comes out.
Absolutely. You have to have a common goal,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's a matter of defining what that goal is, what problem you're solving. And the government's doing, I think, some really proactive things. They're creating capabilities packages now. So
mm-hmm.
a different term for defining a critical need. They have urgent requirement statements that are being released. So there are alternate ways outside of the traditional large program, multi-year development cycle to solve immediate problems in support of the warfighter.
Do you think overall the way that the government is getting stuff is going in the right direction? Are there other solutions like that for other parts of the acquisition process that have been challenging in the past that are improving?
Yeah, generally, and as a small organization, not being the prime, it creates particular challenges in one, finding the opportunities,
mm-hmm.
two, getting in the midst of them and being an active participant. So, they're getting more creative, whether it's leveraging grants or, you know, having these, you know, capabilities, you know, documents that are published or issuing a BAA
mm-hmm.
to seek advice, where they're able to get closer to industry and far more, you know, timely manner,
mm-hmm.
And engage more directly under a less formal structure.
As you look at the budget landscape, everybody's talking about do more with less and or even in some cases do less with less. How's that impacting a company like yours? I mean, it seems like you're right in the pocket of what so many agencies need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say communications is critical. So from that perspective, you know, mostly the areas that have been most significantly impacted have been building, you know, planes
mm-hmm.
and delaying, you know, incremental purchases of vehicles.
Yeah.
But what that's doing is it's transforming how they look at their current fleet of assets. They need to make them more efficient. They need to retrofit them. They need to reset them. So we actually are able to create opportunities for tech insertion, as
mm-hmm.
I would define it, to solve a problem without having to wait until the next refresh cycle, which may be 3 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So the government's getting creative and looking at what they may have defined as a 5-year life cycle for a given objective and picking and choosing what's most important and most critical for their mission.
Mm-hmm. That concept is kind of at odds with what a lot of CIOs have talked about when they're buying security or buying technology, they want to make sure the security is woven in. That makes sense moving forward, but as you say, not everybody has the ability to do that. So I'd like to explore that a little bit more when we come back from the break. Janet Kumpu is president of Fortress Technologies, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
There's a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Here's Greg Schaefer, Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications, DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by HP.
We get to a point where we've got secure, reliable, and available systems. They're designed that way from the start. They're executed in a way that we know when we've got disruptions in real time, and we're in a position to knock down the risk and address those issues when they occur.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Everybody's selling cybersecurity these days, and it's all about fear and drama. HP believes cybersecurity isn't about fear. It's about managing threats while achieving your objectives. Every day, HP helps clients achieve their missions with confidence. Take the fear out of cyber threats and enable your organization to thrive in an uncertain environment. Visit HP at hp.com/go/cybersecurity. Outcomes that matter. Copyright 2010 Hewlett-Packard Development Company, LP.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabek Insider this afternoon, measuring your outreach efforts. You're using all sorts of different methods to communicate. We'll talk to Scott Burns of GovDelivery about how you can measure what works and what doesn't. And the day before Turn It Off Day or Turn IT Off Day, we'll remind you how you can make a difference by shutting down that computer before you leave the office. The details this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabek Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today, Janet Kumpu of Fortress Technologies. And we were talking before the break, Janet, about a number of issues regarding security of networks. And you mentioned that one of the opportunities for your company is to be able to go into an agency that needs a security upgrade, maybe doesn't have the ability budget-wise to take everything out and start over. And be able to help those agencies upgrade. the idea, the goal, as we talked about, is for a network to have the security woven in. When that's not possible, either because of budget reasons or because of the technology is in place, how does an agency get around that and make sure that they are able to maintain what they've got?
Yeah, so I mean, our heritage as a company was a security provider first, and then we extended into the wireless communications space. So, you know, fundamentally, the best approach is design it from the ground up, right? It's kind of, you know, like people who selectively take an insurance policy, right? You don't want to be in the front page of the Wall Street Journal and then realize you made a bad decision.
Yeah.
But there are ways to do that. So, you know, we, for instance, and a lot of other companies have overlay products which can protect a network that may be a legacy that's, you know, made where there's been a significant investment, but there is determined to be a vulnerability, and you can address that. The best approach is an integrated approach where it's a federated solution, and you're designing your security architecture to complement your network at the very beginning of that process.
Where that's not possible, what should an agency be looking at, though, to be able to evaluate a solution and determine this is going to get me up? I'm this far along, and I need to be all the way. And so what am I looking for to make sure that I'm going to be able to cover this last little piece of ground?
Well, the way we look at it is the proof points are in the certifications and accreditations that companies invest in and get for their products. So that's almost step one, right? You design a product to meet those requirements. The government has very formal structures like NIST for the FIPS process, et cetera, and JITC testing and a variety of different mandates, which are policy-driven, and companies that go through that effort, spend the money, and make the investment to get their products accredited provides a level of assurance to the customer. Then it becomes an implementation decision. And in many cases, they'll reach out to industry from a professional service standpoint and engage experts that understand how to properly implement a network and to make sure that it's done right.
What's kind of the state of the art when it comes to certification and accreditation? Are the benchmarks that are out there, do you think, do they work for where the agencies are these days?
I think to the most part, you know, within the world that we live in, there's been NIST and FIPS, you know, certifications, which evaluate the crypto implementation in a wireless solution, for instance. The customer starts, though, saying, what's my mission? What are my risk parameters? You know, what are the gaps I have? If they've got an existing network with security gaps, they evaluate that, and then they go through a risk mitigation strategy. They may choose to look for a product that is generally available, that has the certifications they need, and just acquire it, you know, and complete their architecture. But you know, we fundamentally, I think there's more commonality across the services, which is a good trend. You know, historically, Fortress has spent a significant amount of time working with individual agencies, disparate services. Each of them have their own unique process for getting a system accredited. They have potentially different guidelines for what their requirements are, and you can't share that. So we're seeing a trend of reciprocity, which is great, which would allow a company like us to leverage that.
We just have about a minute or so left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you about that concept, which is how is it getting better? It sounds like it is, but we'll explore it a little bit more for you to be able to say this works at this agency and it can work for you right out of the box. It doesn't have to be built from scratch for you just to suit you.
That's right. And why spend the significant money and time to go through the same effort, right? So if we can help industry and help government, vice versa, share in that effort and those resources and leverage it across services, it allows for true joint network capabilities.
Yeah. Just as an outside observer, it seems to me that's a great way to keep your project off the high-risk list is to...
Yeah, that's true.
And, hey, it's working for those guys. That's right.
It saves money. Everybody's all about that right now.
Exactly.
Right?
Janet Kumpu of Fortress Technologies, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. And a reminder that in hour number two, we'll look at Defense Act Acquisition Reform. More details as we progress on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower. The Dow's down 26 points. The Nasdaq lower by 8. The lines at the unemployment office were a little shorter last week as the number of workers filing new claims for jobless benefits fell 31,000 to 473,000. This week's report is marking the first decline after three straight weekly gains. An update on a tech merger war. Data storage company 3PAR has accepted a raised buyout bid from Dell. Dell's new offer trumped an earlier bid from Hewlett-Packard. Discover Financial Services announcing a new four-year deal to sponsor the Orange Bowl. This ends FedEx's long-standing sponsorship of the college football game. The switch comes as ESPN takes over coverage rights of the bowl game series from Fox Sports. All title sponsorships were up for a renewal as a result of the rights switch. Once again, stocks are lower. I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
Everyone knows that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. You'd have to be living on Jupiter not to know that. Want to talk discounts? GEICO's got a list of discounts as long as a gorilla's arm, including good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and discounts for auto safety features. In short, GEICO's out to save you as much money as humanly possible. Scratch that. As much money as inhumanly possible.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
In my house, I make it my business to know everything that goes on, but I can't see everything and be everywhere at once. That's where Solo comes in. With Solo, I see everything I need to know about.
Introducing Archer Fish Solo, the first thinking camera. It's a wireless video security camera with Homeland Security technology. It understands what it sees and sends video alerts to your mobile phone when something important happens.
Solo does all the work for me. Now that's video monitoring done right.
Learn more at Thinking Camera.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
An expected flood of retirements in the technology industry is leading U.S. aerospace and defense companies to step up their support for educational programs that will encourage students to pursue technical careers. A study by Aviation Week magazine found that among companies with more than 100,000 workers, 19% of employees are now at retirement age, and that the figure will jump to more than 30% by the end of 2012. In reaction, companies like Raytheon are sponsoring student robotics competitions and forming partnerships with technical schools in an effort to address the expected shortage of workers trained in science, technology, engineering, and math. The problem hits home for aerospace and defense companies especially, as many engineering jobs in the field are only open to U.S. citizens.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
This case is about a murder in Mississippi in the 1960s.
A 64-year-old black male was picked up at his house by three white males, taken to a bridge in the National Forest where he was shot repeatedly with a rifle and then with a shotgun.
Special Agent Kevin Rust from FBI Jackson, who says the body was then thrown over the bridge into a creek.
One of the individuals that had committed this murder had been acquitted. acquitted in state court back in 1966.
The individual confessed to two FBI agents after the murder, but claimed in court the victim was already deceased.
The murder had actually happened on federal property in a national forest, therefore making it a federal crime.
The FBI opened a case in 1999. In 2002, a trial revealing one of the motives.
That they were committing this murder in an attempt to lure Martin Luther King to the Natchez, Mississippi area where an attempt could be made on Dr. King's life.
The defendant was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison, where he died in 2007. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Which agency has the best transportation or parking options? Federal News Radio is now accepting nominations as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Tell us which agency has the best metro access or parking lots and which makes your overall commute a little bit easier. Send us an email or fill out your anonymous form with the agency you think deserves recognition. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of. Nominations are being accepted all week.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Janet Kumpu of Fortress Technologies, and we're talking about wireless technology and wireless networks. And one of the things that we talked about before the break, Janet, you mentioned what I consider to be the ideal way that IT pros at the agencies approach a security issue or looking at what they need to procure. You talked about evaluating the mission and then assessing where the security holes are and so on, and then looking for a solution to that problem. That seems to me to be the ideal way to do it. What we are more aware of is the case where somebody has their list and they see which boxes they haven't checked off to be compliant with whatever they have to be compliant with. And I wonder what you're seeing in the marketplace with, is there more or less of one kind or the other? Are people taking what, doing it the way that you described it, which is, I think, the ideal way, or are they still doing a lot of box checking?
I think they're rethinking things. So, you know, clearly if we're engaged with programs that are trying to be cost effective, that understand the funding pressures, that have a list of critical requirements they need to solve for the warfighter, there's a level of urgency that in many cases I haven't seen before. So they are truly trying to be innovative, forward thinking, and proactively engaging with industry. That only helps, right? Now, why create the wheel when you already have an available, you know, wireless comm solution that works perfectly fine that solves your mission? So we're starting to see those trends. As I stated earlier, you know, issuing capabilities packages, you know, publishing, you know, specific requests for urgent needs to address point problems is a far greater way to make progress than trying to create what we would deem, you know, the God solution, right? And solve 100% of your mission requirements.
Right. Yeah. The reason I ask is because this is similar to what we were talking about before about what people aspire to and what actually happens in real life. We can think about trying to solve the problems, but sometimes day-to-day operations preclude that, and you realize that, wait a minute, somebody's looking over my shoulder. This isn't just my enterprise that I have to make sure is secure. I've got regulations, I've got policies that I've got to follow, I've got OMB sending me memos that I'm supposed to be complying with, and so on. And it's real easy to get wrapped up in compliance and not think about actual practical applications, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, you know, it first and foremost is solve the mission, provide a capability. That capability is, you know, in many cases, extending the reach of the network. Something very simple in context, but what does that mean, right? You know, for us, delivering wireless comms to the tactical edge, as we say, seems like a relatively, you know, straightforward task.
Mm-hmm.
Take this product and implement it, turn it on. But there's still a great deal of checks and balances, many necessary, particularly on the security side, that make sure that, you know, the government customers in these large programs are doing the right thing. So it has longevity, it has continuity, it's interoperable. So, you know, I think all those elements are worth, you know, looking at. I think if we're short-sighted, it's basically, if we get to the point where, we are just focused on checking the boxes and not thinking about whether that has or doesn't have an impact to the user community.
Because mm-hmm.
in many cases, you could leave three boxes unchecked and be perfectly fine and mm-hmm. satisfy 90% of the mission.
It's interesting that you say that, because in cybersecurity from the agency side, mm-hmm. When it comes to the list, it seems to me that people are tend more toward the CYA element of it, which is, I'm going to check them all twice, just so nobody can come back and say, oh, you forgot that one, and that's the one that we got busted on. So it's interesting to hear you say that many times we could be a little bit more lax, and not lax, that doesn't convey the right
appropriate
impression.
Appropriate for but, the risk.
Yeah,
right?
It's risk
all
appropriate. It's a good way to say
matching the risk,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
You know, we have these conversations continually when folks look at using secure wireless comms for in-theater use, for command and control. Policy today mandates the utilization of a classified device, a mm-hmm. type 1 device. In many situations, these are very ad hoc, short duration networks. The risk tolerance, you know, probably doesn't appropriately map to the policy, but the policy exists. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, rightly so, the procurement community is going to follow policy to make sure they're not doing anything inappropriate. But
mm-hmm.
in some cases, we need to reconsider those things and reevaluate whether that policy that was written 10 years ago maps to what's technically available and capable today.
Yeah. How do you go about educating the agencies about opportunities? Like, it seems to me that if I'm sitting here looking at a budget and I go, I would love to be able to buy X hundred units that are not, that don't have to be whatever, mm-hmm. than that have to be.
Mm-hmm.
How do you try to get them in on that?
It's a lot of effort, right? Mm-hmm. So for a small company like Fortress, you know, we use parallel approaches. Obviously, we promote the successes to showcase what can be accomplished. So we've got some great Army programs that have been very visible within the DoD community that clearly show the success and use of wireless in theater. We need to take that, educate the portability of that value, in many cases target the end user, you know, create momentum within the program office, work in collaboration with the systems integrators who own these large programs, and then engage in, you know, broader industry, you know, thought leadership to help the entire industry move forward.
Does that approach of educating the end user work a lot better than it used to? It used to be that I'm the decision maker, and if I say it goes, and if I say it doesn't, it doesn't. Is the feedback loop opening up? Is it loosening up?
I absolutely think it is, and I think just if you look at the way the Department of Defense is operating, these urgent requirements are getting funding, a far higher level of visibility, because it's all about protecting the warfighter. So it's probably the state of the country and mm-hmm. where we are. But there's a far greater scrutiny at what I would call traditional infrastructure programs that are not tied to the immediate mission.
Yeah.
And if anything that can help solve the warfighter problem and provide them greater situational awareness and force protection is becoming a very high priority.
Yeah, that really fits with what Secretary Gates has been talking about for the last,
Absolutely.
Well, I guess since May, since the Kansas speech. So it seems like that's a great, I imagine all these things that he's talking about make you feel pretty good.
They do, right? It creates at least a vision of where the government's trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are seeing action from our government customers that demonstrate that they're embracing that vision and they're trying to be very creative and forward thinking. You know, translating that into procurements and funding, you know, in some cases still takes quite a bit longer than we'd always like it to.
Janet Kumpus, president of Fortress Technologies, my guest for the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll talk more about Secretary Gates's plan for the Pentagon and how it affects not just your company, but kind of the technology space in general when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Human Capital Solutions Report provided by Aon Consulting.
A recent survey finds most federal workers like their jobs, but the promotion process continues to be an issue. That's where Aon's Telephone Assessment Program, or TAPS, comes in. TAPS offers a proven method of testing an employee's skills for a position at the next level. Employees are asked to work through realistic job simulations and come up with positive outcomes to everyday challenges. All of this is done by phone with same-day results that are legally defensible.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
Which agency has the best transportation or parking options? Federal News Radio is now accepting nominations as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Tell us which agency has the best metro access or parking lots and which makes your overall commute a little bit easier. Send us an email or fill out your anonymous form with the agency you think deserves recognition. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best of. Nominations are being accepted all week.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose, and my guest for the hour is Janet Kumpu of Fortress Technologies. And you said at the top of the show you do a lot of work with DOD and with working on secure networks in theater for DOD. As Secretary Gates has rolled out his reform ideas and restructuring ideas at the Pentagon, I mentioned before, it would strike me that your company's in a great place when it comes to that, because supplying the end user, as we've talked about a couple of times, the man or woman in the field who is actually trying to execute the mission, that's who the secretary wants to devote more resources to and cut out some of the extra stuff. As you look at where the Pentagon is headed, is it, do you think, more important that Secretary Gates is saying we're going to do X, Y, and Z? Or is it more important, you think, that he has just put out some kind of a plan, any kind of plan, but at least you and your colleagues have an idea of where DOD is headed for the next X number of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think the government in total has always been planful and has always published, you know, their vision of what they wanted to accomplish. I think what's different is that in the times we're in right now, the statements by Secretary Gates clearly are I think, being internalized, at least from my observations, far more greatly based on, you know, budgetary pressure, based upon the urgent need to solve the warfighter problem, based on a level of oversight that probably in many of these programs they haven't seen previously. So it's all a benefit to us, you know, because we think we bring significant value to our customer base. And in some cases, the barrier was wanting to wait 2 years for the ultimate solution. They can't afford to do that. And oh, by the way, the ultimate solution from 5 years ago would end up being a proprietary architecture that doesn't have, you know, longevity, that isn't sustainable, that doesn't provide an appropriate, you know, financial, you know, financially viable solution for them. So I applaud him for what he's doing. I think the strategic direction he's making, his embracing of industry, recognizing industry, particularly in the IT space, We are the experts. We invest millions and billions of dollars in maturing our technology and our capability to deliver solutions that should be readily usable by the government community. Their focus is you know, fighting the war and you know, focusing on their charter. And if we can separate their desire to create solutions that are unique and leverage the industry and standards, it's a far more cost-effective business model for them.
You talk about the difference between the technology curve and the procurement timeline. If we graph them out, are they starting to come together a lot better? For a long time, it seemed like they were pretty widely separated.
Absolutely. As evidenced by a lot of our tactical radios that are, you know, 30 years old that are still in use. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're seeing significant interest in leveraging Wi-Fi, which may not appear obvious to folks, right, in theater for tactical edge communications because it is higher performing, because it has greater throughput, because it has adequate security in the way we've designed things.
Bigger bandwidth.
It can support streaming video. Mm-hmm. So it can enable the applications that the government's invested, you know, significant amounts of money to provide real value, enabling a sensor network, right? Wi-Fi is a perfectly, you know, capable technology of doing that. Mm-hmm. So the linear thinking is changing. I think folks are being much more open to considering to not tying a requirement to a technology, but tying it to a capability and then allowing industry to help them solve that problem.
But with all we've talked about the situation in acquisition at the Pentagon a thousand times if we've done it once on this station in the last year or so, and more even before that. There are a lot of challenges there. They don't have enough people, and the people that they have are still learning in many cases how to do the job. Mm-hmm. 5 to 7 years is what everybody tells me it takes for an acquisition professional to really be able to do the job that he or she needs to do. And as you say, we don't have 5 or 7 years to wait to get this stuff in the door. What's it like to procure for the Army on that in those circumstances?
It can be very painful for a small company, right? You know, we think we're fortuitous and you know, we forecast when we believe these things are going to happen. But some of the directional changes that Gates is outlining, some of these large program cancellations is creating a lot of turbulence in the industry, right? So we have to be thoughtful enough in how we manage our business so we can – you know, wait 6 months longer than we thought it was going to take to get something through the procurement process. It's unfortunate because in that time frame, you know, the warfighter isn't being served, but it's a necessary reality, and those dynamics are still there.
We've talked a lot about where we've been and where we are today. When we come back to wrap up, I'd like to talk about where you see technology in your area of expertise going, where you see technology in DOD going and across the government as a whole. Janet Kumpu of Fortress Technologies, my guest for the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and we will wrap up shortly.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples, to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common, the same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Here's Greg Schaefer, Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications, DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by SafeNet.
We get to a point where we've got secure, reliable, and available systems. They're designed that way from the start. They're executed in a way that we know when we've got disruptions in real time, and we're in a position to knock down the risk and address those issues when they occur.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
From defending our nation's borders to
protecting the environment, cloud computing services can support your mission and serve the American public. Trust your information in the cloud with SafeNet's data-centric solutions that enable security, privacy, and compliance. SafeNet Solutions allows agencies to share sensitive data throughout the information lifecycle, from the battle space to the White House. SafeNet has been at the core of data protection for more than 25 years. Visit safenet-inc.com/government.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for August is Vehicles for Change, a nonprofit organization repairing and providing donated cars to low-income families. A car is the most valuable poverty-fighting tool that can be provided to a low-income family, and Vehicles for Change has awarded over 3,200 cars since 1999. The car increases the opportunity for better employment and family activities never before possible. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Ackerman Security Systems.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest for industry chatter today is Janet Kumpu of Fortress Technologies. And as I mentioned before, normally I like to talk about where you see your company or the space that you're in a couple of years from now or 5 years from now. That's really hard to do when we're talking about these kinds of technologies, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the technology is evolving so fast and rapidly, which makes our whole space very exciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly able to leverage those advancements and bring new value, greater performance, greater bandwidth, greater access, you know, to the end customer. Probably what's most exciting is the fact that, you know, ultimately, I think 5 years from now, we're going to have ubiquitous access to information. It will be available. Everybody says it anytime, anywhere, any place,
mm-hmm.
With a high level of reliability. You know, we're looking at enabling wireless comms on UAVs, on sensors, on robotics devices, on vehicles, on individuals and warfighters. The ability to miniaturize this capability and then insert it as an embedded component in a variety of devices just becomes endless,
mm-hmm.
as technology advances. So how it gets done and all the intricacies of which technology is going to be preferred and how quickly or ever the jitters program and software-defined radios become adopted is speculation for a CTO to comment on.
Uh-huh.
You know, but you know, I think we consider ourselves in a pretty opportunistic position.
But I wonder if the minutia of it is even really that important, or if it's more important just to be aware of the greater possibilities and then kind of decide when we get there how to execute the individual things that you
absolutely.
Want to do.
And I think we've made mistakes in the past where we've defined a technology and bound it to a capability.
Mm-hmm.
So we've written in the requirement for WiMAX or Wi-Fi or jitters radio or whatever that choice may be, a specific waveform,
mm-hmm.
and said we must do this. And, you know, 3 years later, that requirement still exists, but the capabilities don't match the need.
Yeah.
Right? So I think we're getting more thoughtful there. You know, allowing industry and small defense, you know, suppliers like Fortress to help innovate and invest, you know, our resources to solve those problems is really what makes it a partnership.
It kind of parallels in my mind the approach that agencies took to social media, which is, well, we should have a Twitter account. We should be on Facebook. Well, what are you going to do once you're on there? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to.
But we want to be able to do it. Right. And yeah. So it seems if we get ahead of ourselves, we were talking during the break about the apps for the Army contest that CIO Sorensen has just wrapped up.
Right.
And that strikes me as the kind of thing that you really makes it almost impossible to try to project what you'll be doing at some point in the future, because what you'll be doing is whatever somebody cooks up to solve whatever the next challenge is.
That's right. And I think as the younger generations are feeding, you know, and becoming the force of our warfighting community, they're comfortable with this capability. They're
mm-hmm.
used to it. They expect it. So the demand, the grounds up demand for, you know, needing and wanting and you know, forcing that connectivity is expected. So it's not a nice to have. It's not a thought. You know, it's a way of living.
And that's different, I think, than when I first came into the workforce and was looking at technology and the possibilities of technology. First of all, I wasn't in a situation like a lot of people find themselves in now, which is my stuff at home is better than what I use at work.
Absolutely.
So that's a whole different ballpark than I experienced, but just the expectation of I'm gonna be able to do this because I do it. What I can't, and that mindset is hard for people I think of my generation to understand.
It doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah,
because it's a way of operating. It's the same value that we deliver, but because it's all about consistency. If we can deliver comms capabilities here that are able to be deployed in the same exact operating environment in theater and then carried with them from a deployable communication standpoint, it provides consistently. It streamlines the training process. It makes it user-friendly and far more effective in supporting the mission. I think the other thing we're doing is we're focused on OEM opportunities, right? If we can take a core value we have and optimize it for a given use case, we're willing to make that investment because it helps solve a problem now, and the industry is leading us there as well.
There's always more stuff than there is time to get to it all. So at some point, I would like you to come back and we can continue this conversation. It's great to have you here today. Thanks for taking the time to do it.
I've appreciated it. It's been a pleasure.
Mine as well. Janet Kumpu, president of Fortress Technologies on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're just about ready for hour number two of today's program. We'll dig into an event hosted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies on Defense Acquisition Reform in hour number two of In Depth on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.